Some people think that our heart is our most vital organ. Actually, it's not. Our brain is. Our mind is a maze, a labyrinth of experiences from birth that creates the reality we live. God designed us to thrive on Earth with joy through human interaction and relationships that shape and mold us. But what happens when those interactions break us and shatter the hope and the innocence we once held? How do we find our way home? How do we pick up the pieces? Can we ever be made new? There is hope for the brokenhearted because our Savior and Creator designed us to repair. We just need to be shown the way. Join us on a journey as we learn how to take Jesus to our past, restore what was lost, and bring healing to the fractured soul.
Hey guys, welcome back to Resistance Chicks. I'm one of your hosts, Michelle. It's Tuesday, which means after almost a whole month off, we're back to Healing for the Fractured Soul, which I am super excited about tonight's show. Hats off to Leah, because I had really wanted to do tonight's show that we are actually going to do, The Art of the Exorcist. But when I asked Leah about it, she's like, I'm not really ready to do that show yet. And so I was like, no, that's fine. We can do the left brain, right brain that we had talked about doing, which that's going to be a really good show. It's really fascinating the way that God designed us as humans to function and the way that our brains work and how things are cordoned off and categorized. And this part of you does this, and this part of you does this, and this part of you does this better. And, different things are functioned. It's kind of like your foot has essentially fingers. They're called toes. And if you don't have any arms, there are people that function and they even drive with their feet, but your feet are not designed to do all the things that your hands are designed to do. And a lot of us are living with using one side of our brain that another side of our brain is designed to do, or they're designed to do together and we're missing one. You know, it's like having one arm and you're just functioning, you know, like your hands are I think this is a better analogy. Your hands are designed to do something together, you know, to brush your hair, you need two, right? And when your left brain and right brain are not working in sync together and you're just using one, you can end up lopsided. So that is going to be a super fascinating show that we're not doing tonight, actually. We're going to do something totally different. So I mentioned this today, and before we get, and I know that these Healing for the Fractured Souls go, hang on, I can speak. These Healing for the Fractured Soul shows go down in the annals of our history and people go back and watch them. And so current news is not always the most helpful. However, we're not at World War III right now. I think that Trump was bluffing, which I said as much earlier. So apparently they've got this 10-point deal and we'll talk about it on Friday. Maybe we'll do a live tomorrow. If we're all still alive tomorrow, let's put it that way. No, I'm just kidding. But I have a lot of things going on in my head and a lot of processes that my mind is focusing on right now. But when this interview with his name is Chafe, Friar Chafe. I don't even know how to say his last name. Let me get this right here. I don't want to mess it up. Chafe Ripperger. He's the Grim Ripperger. That's a really bad joke. Anyway, he just, like, when you see the thumbnail of the interview with Tucker and this guy, you don't really think much of it. Oh, it's just a priest. This guy's like legit. So to give you a little bit of a backstory on us, and the show tonight is called The Art of the Exorcist. But for those of you that may be a little bit confused, is exorcism the same thing as deliverance? Yes, the charismatic movement calls it deliverance. The Catholics just call it what it is, exorcisms. However, what I really appreciate with Friar Chafe is that he talks about possession, which is more rare, versus influence. And I think that that is the distincting marker for a lot of people. They don't understand that we can all be demonically influenced. We have used on our show possessed versus oppressed. And I don't want you guys to get caught up in the words, but I also want you to be caught up on the words, because I was not familiar with a phrase or word the way that he used it, but I actually really like it. And I think I want to use it moving forward. And that's diabolical. And when he mentions it, he is referring to demonic possession, oppression, influence. And so when something is diabolical, it's essentially he's saying demonic. So there is a little bit of a learning curve on, you know, coming up to speed. Not that it's about the lingo, but in order to follow what we're going to talk about tonight, I want you to have this kind of glossary of words. So historically speaking, the experience that Leah and I have had is with the demonic and deliverance. I remember being a young kid and we would pass, and I've told this story before, so I'm telling it for those of you that haven't heard it, this palm reading place. And I remember it, like I even know where it was at, like down the street. And it was this tiny, tiny little standalone building, kind of like off, I don't even know how there was like parking or where it was per se, like that part I don't remember. I remember the building was white. It was little, like a little kind of reminded me of a gypsy trailer, you know what I mean? And it was a palm reading place. And my mom would have us bind it and curse it in the name of Jesus every time we passed it. And we'd be like, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I curse you in the name of Jesus. And really, it didn't take very long. And it shut down. There was a Hooters restaurant on the other side of town, my dad's side of the town where he used to live. And we would pass it and curse it and do the same exact thing. And it burnt down with no one in it. And then down the street from our house was a swingers club. It was, you couldn't tell that it was a swingers club. You couldn't tell that it was anything. It just looked like kind of like a little industrial building, but on Friday and Saturday nights, it would flood with cars and you'd see these couples going and it's just so gross. And we would pass it with our windows down on the nights that it was hopping and we would curse it and we would tell people to go home. But every time, even when it wasn't open, we would bind it and we would curse it all the time and it shut down. Michelle, are you saying that you guys shut those things down? No, but God did. And I do believe that our prayers for sure influenced those things being shut down. So even as a small child, I have always known that when Jesus says, all power and authority has been given unto me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I've always known that we have power over all rulers and principalities. There is nothing that is not subject to us using the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I grew up Protestant and charismatic. What does that mean, Michelle? For those of you that don't know, not Catholic. But my family, on my mom's side of the family, is Catholic. So I'm very familiar with Catholicism and the intensity of which the Catholic faith really does believe in exorcisms. Now, what Friar Chafe gets into, which I did not know this, that he's been doing this for 18 years. And when he first started, he says there was only a handful of exorcists in the entire like Catholic faith that actually knew what they were doing, which I find really interesting. So he has started this kind of group of priests. He said there's about 130 of them now, but he still says that not all of them, you know everything, because what he says is you have to experience it firsthand. So again, I'm getting into a backstory here, so please bear with me and stick with me. And Nana, I am so glad that you're here. So Nana, you know what you need to do? And I'm going to make a suggestion if you can. And if I need to walk you through this, I will. If you could upload that interview that you did, like ask, and I forget her name and I'm so sorry, the lady that you did the interview with, ask her to send you a copy of that file of your interview and upload it to your own Rumble. And the reason why I'm asking you to do that is so that when you come on, I can have people just easily click on your name to go and watch it. So this afternoon, I watched two things. And I don't usually watch podcasts. You guys know that. Not that often, not as often as you guys do, because I do them. It's like, you know, the shoemakers don't always want to go and shop for shoes. I don't know if that's a good example. That was really terrible. Just bear with me. So anyway, I finished watching this. Well, I didn't quite finish it. I had intended to, but we're going to go over here tonight, this interview with Tucker and Friar Chafe, and this interview that our very own Nana Yaffa, Linda Etherton, I can give her name because she went public now, did. And I shared this on our Resistance Chicks Facebook page. And it was very good. And Nana's story of being an SRA victim, so powerful. And she talks about the demonic. So it's very fitting. And of course, she was probably going to be here. She tunes into a lot of our shows. But I am glad that you're here. I was literally hoping like that you would be here so I could send people to go and watch it. And maybe you could grab the link and put it in at least the live chat here tonight. The reason why I want to bring this up is like my focus today and last night, we've been doing so much spiritual warfare lately. It's not even funny. Like I'm in it. This is it. Like, I know that this is what God has called us to do. And for those of you that don't know, and I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but I do have a lot of thoughts because I'm in the process of a lot of deep, deep things involving deliverance and the subject of tonight. If you guys will remember the whole SK thing, before everything kind of what I want to say is went downhill, I had an experience with three demonic entities. I was on a walk in the rain. I was walking a dog and they were SK's demons and I knew it. And I had this encounter that was very real and very powerful. And I thought that I could take his demons on for him. And they told me that they would ravage me. And in my confidence, knowing that I have all power and authority, I thought that I could take them on. And I was very adamant that I could. There's a reason why Jesus sends them out in twos. Because you need, when you're taking on demons of this level, and those demons were probably very high up, very historic and ancient demons. I need to do a little bit more research and I need to pull out my journal of my description of that experience to find out. I think that they were probably very, I think I was for sure dealing with Baal. And this, it's interesting because this priest here will get into a lot of that. And I don't know what timestamps Leah is going to cover, but if you watch the whole interview, which I recommend you watching it twice, he talks about these very prominent, very specific demons that he encounters all the time. He says that he has even had encounters with Lucifer, which I believe him. I don't have any reason not to. And his experience tracks, spiritually speaking. So anyway, after that encounter, which was in October sometime, is when everything went downhill. Demons will ravage you if you are not ready. So don't take the demonic on lightly, but also know that you can take them on and they have to submit to you. But you need more than one person. You do not, they do these quote unquote sessions and they do them with multiple people. That's highly recommended. So in hindsight, I wish that I had brought Leah and the Cantrells in on my experience. I didn't. I actually took my experience directly to Scott a few weeks later. It was too late at that point. And I was very excited about this experience. And I thought that he would be too. And his reaction was very guarded. I thought, like, I'm taking this, like, and I'm this, you know, we're going to take on these demons. And like, out of what I expected at that time to have from him, from what my perception of who he was not at all the reaction that I got. It was straight up. Now in hindsight, I can see it, but I couldn't understand it at the time. I was just like, that's just so weird. Like, why? I'm laughing at my reaction at the time, but my reaction at the time was like, oh, that's just so weird. Like, I wonder why he's not receiving this, you know, whatever. So, he wasn't, that was like, he, out of all of the charlatanism that he was able to do and all the fraud and all of the putting on a persona that was fake, that he was not able to fake because those demons were reacting for him. So anyway, when I was a kid, my mom had multiple personalities. We've talked about that on our show so many times. It's not a secret at all. My mom battled it my whole life and has worked so hard on getting her healing. And I'm so proud of her. So, so proud of her. But we went to church after church after church because my mom was like, I have demons. Someone needs to cast these out of me. And they tried, but it was not successful. And then it was discovered that she had multiple personalities. And so our take, unfortunately, we have always been on the defensive of people calling things that are mental problems demonic. So we've really steered clear of really, not that we haven't dealt with the demonic and we haven't taken on demonic possession, but it's almost like it really, our first answer has always been, let's get to the root of your inner trauma, which that's great. That's what this whole Healing for the Fractured Soul show is. That's our wheelhouse. But coming to realize now, and this started in 2023, Lee and I began to realize that God was calling us to a ministry of deliverance. Of, you want to call it exorcism, you can call it that, taking on the demonic, whatever. That's what we do. That's what we're doing. And melding the two, because they're inexhaustibly connected. They are. And I said this to Leah this afternoon. My entire life, I've spent defending mental illness as not being demonic, because what happens when people find out that you have a mental illness and they are prone to wanting to say that everything is a demon, they won't deal with your inner trauma. They just want to cast the demon out of you, but they won't help heal you. And that's wrong and it's abusive. And that's what happened to my mom. However, I have come to realize that, and I disagree with this friar on this one subject. He says not all mental illness, well, let me rephrase this. He says not all mental illness is diabolical, meaning demonic. I'm not going to disagree with that phrase. I'm going to disagree with the way that I interpreted what he meant, and maybe he didn't mean it the way that I interpreted it. Because I do believe that anytime you have sickness, there's a demonic element to it. Okay. And so I think that what is needed is an even-handed approach to deal with the demonic possession, influence, and oppression first, and then work on the inner healing and deal with remaining demons that are still influencing, oppressing, or possessing. And what I appreciated, that's fine, Nana. I'll grab the link and put it in today's show on resistancechicks.com, which that's just for people that don't have Facebook. Because if you have Facebook, just go to our Facebook and you'll find it. What I appreciated from Nana's story is that when she got saved, she ended up in a church that told her that she had not been saved because she had had demons. And they did not believe that you can be a Christian and you can be possessed by the devil. I have run into that so many times. And if you have been told that and you have been taught that, it's wrong. You can be saved. And especially, and then I hope you don't mind me telling, because this is in her interview, she had and has been healed from multiple personalities. Especially if you have multiple personalities, you can be demon possessed in a personality and still be saved because you are fractured. Okay. So, but what I do appreciate from Friar Chafe, we're going to get into here tonight, and I may need to call and check on Leah because she should have been here quite some time ago. What I did appreciate from Friar Chafe is that he talks about how everybody can be demonically influenced. All of us, Christian or not, everybody is demonically influenced. These demons are coming after you all the time. So I want to get into this, you know, like I said, before we get into the show, and if Leah doesn't show up in 5 minutes, remind me, I'm going to call her because I'm starting to get mildly worried about her. Jewel says, I am so thankful for Dan Duvall's teachings. He goes into all of this. And yes, you can be possessed and saved. Amen. I said this on today's my little live that I was doing about Trumpy Bumpy today. I want to make a t-shirt that says everything is spiritual warfare. Everything is spiritual warfare. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities in high places. Let me read this scripture specifically. It's Ephesians 6:12. Let me pull it up. Because there's a part of this that gets overlooked when quoted verbally. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Rulers of the darkness. They are rulers of the darkness. They're not rulers of the light. They only rule where darkness dwells. We have the power over them, over the darkness. And you need to remember that. And so when I said today, you know, I'm not trying to say that there's a demon around every corner, but there's a demon around every corner. Full stop. And I'm gonna hit you guys right off the bat of tonight's show. Every battle and struggle and negative thought and oppression and depression and just yuckiness and like all the things that you are going through, it's demonic. It's demonic. And I know that sounds, it's hard to swallow because we want to just think that it's our flesh. We want to just think that we're struggling or we're having a bad day or something like that. And why, Michelle, but why is it so important for me to recognize that it's demonic? Because then you take power over it. You're not helpless. You're not lost. I'm telling you, the crazy Christian stuff. Do you know what we did yesterday? Leah and I, we went crazy Christian because I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual warfare right now that's bigger than probably our whole lives. We walked our whole property. We anointed everything. We took my healing for the soul anointing oil and we walked this whole property and we anointed and prayed over everything and claimed everything. And it was like, we're doing it. And you know what I did? You know what I did? You know what I did? I was in the car. I was talking to Leah. And man, the devil, and I love that this guy gets into this because when you take on these demons, they are going to try to mess with your head. And he uses a phrase that I really appreciate is that devil will mess with your perception. And his example that he gives, and forgive the repeat because Leah might play this timestamp, but at least you'll be ready for it, where he says, all the demons can do is try to really change your perception of a thing. And he uses the example that when you get married, he uses a man to his wife. And you look at your wife and she's the greatest thing ever. And she's beautiful and she can do no wrong. And you just love her to death. And she makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside and all this, that, and the other. And 10 years down the line, you still love her, but your perception of her has changed. And the gooey, gooey part's gone because you've gone through some stuff. And it's no longer that she can do no wrong. You've seen her do a lot of wrong and those kinds of things. Your perception has changed. Well, what these demons will do, and I know you guys have experienced this in your marriages and your relationships and in your relationship with God and your relationship with the tasks that you do and your job and in, you know, interactions and all the things in your own life and your own self-reflection, is your perception changes. And that's when you feel that feeling of, I just don't want to live anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to fight this fight anymore. I don't want to fight this battle anymore, because your perception is being demonically influenced. Your perception is everything, which is why it's so important to stay in the spirit. We're fighting a battle, and I think that you guys all feel it, not just in the United States, not just in the world, not just politically. I know you guys are fighting your own battles. If I had to guess, a lot of you are in a battle right now that feels more intense. Things feel different than they ever have in your entire life, because things are ramping up. And I believe that demonic activity has ramped up, and they are trying to, you know, take out your Achilles heels if you're a Christian, because they know that they have to go after the Christians, because they can feel, I think they can feel something coming. The king is on the move. And they're trying to take all of us out, and they're trying to take all of us down, and they will pit us against each other, and they will lie to us. They will lie about us. And what I appreciate from this Friar Chafe is he says that when he's in session, and what he means is during a period of time where he's really working with someone to get them set free, he fasts 6 days a week. And his version of a fast is one small meal a day. And they're in prayer 3 hours a day. That's huge. That's so important. Guys, I'm going to challenge you. I know I mentioned fasting earlier. Again, I really like his version of fasting versus a full fast. Because sometimes a full fast gets to be too distracting, that it starts to diminish what a fast is supposed to do. And then you're just distracted by being so hungry. Just beef up on a bunch of protein once a day. That would be my recommendation. But I want to challenge you that even beyond that, that you live a fasted mental and physical lifestyle for a while. What are your thoughts focused on? Like, because what this guy says is, he says when he's in session, and like I said, he refers to that as being like work, you know, literally working on a deliverance case. These demons will bring up anything that they can to throw you off, to make you feel like you don't have, because they have to convince you that you don't have the power and the authority. So anyway, so Leah and I were really working through some stuff last night and taking on the devil, and, he will always try to pit you against one another, always. And I'm going to tell you, Lee and I busted through it, and we slayed the devil in it, and it felt pretty darn good. But you have to be prepared for the mental games. And it's like this. Leah said this to me on the phone today. In every movie that you see, kind of thing, where like the person will tell you, you know, if I'm acting this way, it's not me, you know, whatever. You have to, especially with the people in your life that you know you can count on, you have to be able to say to them, like, I need you to be willing to help shake me out of this. And we have to be able to be committed to not giving in to the mirage that these demons will try to shove in your face, because they will bring up every past sin, mistake, or whatever. Maybe it's just they're just attacking you, or maybe they're trying to attack your perception of the person that's supposed to be on your team. Y'all know how this happens, how this goes. So I said to Leah, I think it was last night or it was this morning, I said, here's what we need to do. When we're talking about anything, at the first sign of any tiny twinge of negativity that we feel inside, we have to stop and pray. Don't continue the conversation. Don't try to talk it through. Stop. Just say, listen, we can't keep talking about this. Whatever's going on, there's a demon. We have to stop. We have to pray. And I think that that is super important to do. So here's what I'm going to do, because I do need to call Leah and check on her. I'm sure she's just talking to our clients, but now I am getting worried. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up this interview with Tucker and Friar Chafe, and we're just going to let it kind of go, and I'll mute my mic, and I'm going to give Leah a phone call. Hang on, wait a minute. Let me screen share. And we'll just get started. Rather than you guys listening to me, let's listen to the guy that's been doing this for 18 years. How about that?
Father, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
As a Protestant who grew up in Georgetown, in part where The Exorcist was filmed, I've been trained from birth to think of exorcism as something kooky that the Latin Church does for weird cultic reasons, not at all mainstream Christianity. And then, you know, then you go and read the New Testament.
That's right.
And you realize that the first miracle that Jesus performs in the Gospel of Mark is casting out demons. And then he repeats that continuously and commissions the apostles to do the same. And casting out demons is not just this random thing. It is central to the Gospels.
That's right. 23% of the Gospels are actually about Christ dealing with demons. So, and this is why when, you know,
Christian, it's just unbelievable. How did I not know that?
A lot of the Christians will just say, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't necessarily believe in the devil. And you're like, well, do you believe in scripture? Well, yeah. Well, then how can you not believe that this is one of the primary missions of Christ was to save us from them, ultimately?
Well, when he sends the disciples, I mean, of course, this is your life. This is also new to me. I'm just shocked by it. When he sends them out, it's like, preach the good news and cast out demons.
Yes, that's right.
Like, that's the mission.
That's right.
So I just, before we get into what you've spent the last decades doing, casting out demons, how is it that the modern church, at least in the United States, at least the Protestant churches in the United States, have so de-emphasized this to the point where it's disappeared?
I think there's a historical reason behind that. So if you, and it's not just here like in the United States, it's actually in the West in general, the Christian West specifically. And basically it had to do with the advent of psychology. So when psychology came on board, it became in vogue, especially in the 50s and in the 60s, to just think that that all these people's problems were just purely psychological. I mean, there are psychological issues that very much look like that. But the fact is that so they just started chalking it up. And that's one of the reasons why in the United States, before the 1960s, the number of dioceses, that is the Catholic diocese, that had an exorcist was fairly high. I mean, every major diocese would have one. But then it started to decline precisely based upon that thinking. But then over the course of time, they begin to realize, well, look, there's certain things we're seeing that are not psychological, and so they can't be explained in that way, and people needed the help. And so now the bishops are coming a little bit more up to speed in that regard.
Well, yeah, after, you know, 100 years of Freud, we still can't identify what schizophrenia is. It does make you realize, at the very least, there are things we don't understand that could very well be supernatural. Yeah. So that does make you wonder about the origins of psychology, though. I mean, if the net effect was to eliminate people's belief in something real, which is demonic possession, then...
Yeah. Well, I think that was only one aspect of it. I think that the real goal of a lot of the psychologists, which is in the literature, is that many of them are atheists. You know, they just didn't believe in God, and so they wanted to eliminate any concept of anything supernatural, or what we call preternaturals, which is the demons are preternatural. They're not supernatural. God is the one that's supernatural.
So this is probably one of the more interesting pieces that I want you guys to take note of. I think this was one of the things that got me hooked was his explanation of what he calls preternaturalism versus supernatural. And I've always called everything that is beyond our natural world supernatural.
We call preternaturals, which is the demons,
evil and good. And the Latin preternaturalism is what he uses for anything that has a nature. So the demons have a nature, and there is a law of nature, and nature's God. Only God is supernatural.
Well, he gets into explain that in a second. You're getting him ready for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving you the Leah low down.
Welcome to the show, Leah.
I know, right? I was literally talking to our clients about the war, non-war that is going on with Iran. And we were having a discussion on that, on how that's going to play out, which nobody knows yet. This is really, I think it sets me free in how he then begins to
discuss the demonic world, and we're going to call it what he calls it, and we're going to start changing our vernacular. I love this new word to us, and how that we describe things that are demonic as diabolical. So these are going to be words that are interchangeable, but he just uses diabolical. So if somebody is demon possessed and they're an alcoholic and their alcoholism is due to a demon, he says it's a diabolical affliction. Where there's sometimes there's natural and psychological reasons for things, but a diabolical thing means that there is a hold on your mind and your life from a demon. Well, getting back to the clip here where he's explaining the preternaturalism from supernatural, the demonic world was created in an order, and everything God creates has a structure.
Mm.
And the demons can only exist
and
operate within the structure that God himself created them in. Okay, go back to Friar Chad.
We keep saying Friar because it's F-R. I think it's just Father.
Father?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Father.
Yeah. Let me switch screens real quick if you guys don't mind being patient for 1 second so that I can have this done properly here. Here we go.
Come on, Father Chad.
Father, Ripper. It's Chaff.
Ripperger.
It is, okay.
Chaff?
Leah.
I put in Chad.
You put Chaff.
It's Chad.
You said Chaff.
I said or I typed?
You typed Chaff and I didn't take time to fix it. So I've been saying Chaff the whole show.
I did. I fixed the Ripper Girl.
I literally said I don't know what kind of name Chaff is, but we're going to go with it because I didn't get it from
Is it in the title or in the description?
It's in the description, though. And in like the first 30 minutes of the show, me always calling
Okay. Press play
with Chaff.
We tend to talk that way. Although sometimes people will just say supernatural, thinking about demons in that way, too.
Can you, for the ignorant like me, explain the difference between preternatural and supernatural?
So supernatural is those things which are above anything that is created, and that is pertains to God. Whereas preternatural comes from the Latin preter and natura, which means aside from nature. So that would be things that are above what we experience as human beings in this world. But it's not supernatural because it's not God. It's kind of in that in-between state, hang which on, is what pause. The demons are. But they're still considered natural.
Hang on.
That's right.
It's not natural. Right.
They're not
it's right here.
Supernatural. Okay, God is the one that's supernatural. But we tend to talk that way. Although sometimes people will just say supernatural, thinking about demons in that way, too.
Can you, for the ignorant like me, explain the difference between preternatural and supernatural?
So supernatural is those things which are above anything that is created, and that is pertains to God. Whereas preternatural comes from the Latin preter and natura, which means aside from nature. So that would be things that are above what we experience as human beings in this world. But it's not supernatural because it's not God. It's kind of in that in-between state, which is what the demons are. But they're still considered natural in the sense of they have a specific nature that God created them with. They're created beings, and that they actually have a natural law. They have all that they're structured to think in certain patterns in certain ways. So it's kind of a middle tier, but it's preternatural. Supernatural would be something like being able to suspend the laws of nature.
Right.
So demons can't cause miracles, for example. But they can cause things that to us as human beings are outside our normal experience. And so it looks miraculous, but it's actually not. It's something that they can do on their
own. So I guess the good news about that distinction is they're not all powerful.
No, they are not. In fact, demons are one of the most regulated things in the universe, really, because and they're regulated by three things. One, as I mentioned, their natural law, their nature, they're structured a specific way. The second thing is once the demons made their choice, their will became fixed in a specific way. This is one of the reasons why when you deal with them as an exorcist, they almost seem obsessive compulsive. Even when it goes bad for them, they'll still tend towards that thing which they chose, that the sin that they committed. And so they're very, their tendency is towards that. So they're fixed by that. But the main thing is, if you remember in the Gospels, Christ says to the apostles before he ascends, he said, all power was given to me in heaven and earth, all power. That means the demons even know that they can't do anything without Christ's permission. So in the spiritual warfare landscape, we know, and this is, as an exorcist, it actually brings me a lot of confidence because I don't have to worry about if it turns into the type of thing where I get shellacked a little bit during a session or whatever the case is, then I know Christ is still controlling and metering how much and what he can and cannot do. And we know this too, because if you remember, you made the mention of it before when they asked, the demons actually approached Christ, asked to go into the pigs.
I was just thinking that exactly on the other side of the lake.
Yeah. So they can't even enter creature into the pigs without his permission. And so nothing they do can occur without their permission. And so Christ has complete control over the spiritual landscape, the spiritual battle. He has complete control over it. And so they know what they can and cannot do. The first time that actually really occurred to me was I had this one case where this demon, because when they take possession, unless it's a perfect possession, but if it's a partial possession, they take possession of a part of the body. And from there, they can affect the rest of the person. And so the demon was possessing this woman's lower back. And I commanded him to tell me, why are you possessing that part? He says, I don't know. So I commanded him, why not? Why? What do you mean you don't know? And he said, when I entered, Christ restricted me to this part of the body. And that's when it made me realize he has control over everything, when they can manifest, how long they can manifest, the kind of manifestation they can actually do, how they can attack the person that's possessed, how they can attack us, even in our ordinary temptations and things like that. And in other ways, he regulates all of it ultimately. And then you begin to realize, too, over the course of time, it's ultimately for our spiritual benefit.
So this bothered you. Does it still bother you listening to that in that context?
No, it bothered me the way that you said it.
Okay.
When you were telling it to me yesterday.
So I was listening again. Later on in this interview, he explains it a little bit more at the very end, how when he is in session with people and he's dealing with the demons and he's saying, do you regret afflicting this woman? Because on the other side of this, she's more pious. She loves God more. She's more holy. And the demons will like answer yes. And so we have scripture to back this up. The Bible says that we have trials and tribulations. He says that we go through fire. And then we also know that Paul was afflicted and he asked the Lord to deliver him from the affliction 3 times and God did not. God allows certain attacks. And this is very interesting because I, and maybe Michelle wants to weigh on this, I have experienced in my life that the devil can attack me in certain areas, but he is bound to not go farther than a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have always known that it is in correspondence to my walk with God.
Come on.
So I have known I need to not walk in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always viewed it as God's hand lifting off of me. But what that then means is the devil is then allowed in. Okay. So you'll see people who are suffering like a bunch of series of events. And why is that? And Father Chad explains it.
I keep wanting to call him Chad.
He's like, so he says it's either sin in their life or sin against them. And I was like, give us number 3 for the glory of God.
Has he been watching our show?
Obviously, thousands of exorcisms later, he doesn't need to watch our show. Okay. But what I do find comforting is that even within this framework of the Catholic Church and their exorcism, I am way more comfortable with this man's view on exorcism than any Pentecostal. I don't trust any Pentecostals. I feel like they are, they're like a Tesla on autopilot. Okay, that's as much as I trust the Pentecostal casting demons out. Like as much as I would get in a Tesla and have it drive on autopilot. Okay, no, I don't trust them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, Father Chad actually has 2,000 years of Christian history mm-hmm. that they have studied the church fathers, mm-hmm. and he goes on to say the church fathers mentioned this demon and this demon and this demon, and they've been casting out demons for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've got a good track record. Now, what you heard him say was that in the 50s and 60s, atheism took hold. And we're like, well, we don't believe in demons. So what we're going to do, and I believe that the CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy helps, that DBT helps. And I believe that what it helps do, honestly, is work on your self-control to shut the doors to the demons. But they never go away.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. What you can do is you can mute the pain. Okay. It's like psychology to a demonic possession is like an alleviation to an injury. doesn't heal the injury. Okay. You're just stopping the pain, how you feel the pain. Okay. Or a Tylenol, because Aleve actually is an anti-inflammatory.
I think the better way of wording it is, let's use an affliction for a better example. And it's interesting that Dr. Shabazz, who's, what is he, Hindu or something, has discovered this anecdotally, is that unless
you got to forgive the fact that I've been out in this, I am literally this color right now. And
he talks about that color. He talks about how people be looking at color when they in a session, the demons come out.
Or they've just been like radically in the sun so much.
Okay, so anyway, Dr. Shabazz has discovered something that if you don't get to the root cause of something, now we believe it's demonic, and you just heal that part of the body, you can heal the cancer, but that affliction will manifest in another part of your body. If you heal the thing.
So if you're working on a back pain and the demon has been constrained to your back, and you work a bunch on that back, that demon's going to manifest itself as a cancer or as a neck pain or something like that.
Right.
And so it's really important when you have, we talk about sin and sickness, when you have an injury or when you see a series of things happening in your life, that's probably some sort of demonic oppression and you've got to diabolical situation where you have to say, is this my sin, somebody else's sin, and walk through shutting doors.
Yeah, that's really good. Becky, thank you for this.
The experience.
Pause. She says, if anybody needs any deliverance, we can do it over the phone. Aww. We also do inner healing, curse breaking, physical healing, breaking soul ties, dealing with trauma, sin in the body, and all kinds of things. If you guys would like to get a hold of Tag and Becky, you let me know, send me an email, and I will get you in touch with them. Tag and Becky have been part of the Resistance Chicks Healing Ministry team.
They've been demon hunters.
They have their own ministry, but I like to have them underneath of our umbrella. And the only thing I mean by that is our seal of approval for you guys.
Yeah.
But they have their own ministry that is amazing that they have been working on, and I'm really, really proud of them.
Yeah, their professionalism and their love. And if you have those two things, then listen, let me tell you something about demonic casting out. Okay. When you're casting out demons and you're dealing with a diabolical, every situation is going to be different. And you're learning and you're picking up new information, but each different situation is going to be new. So if they're encountering you and your situation may take a little longer because they haven't encountered your situation before. And I know this because Father Chad, he says in your first 2 or 3 years as an exorcist, you get beat up a lot. You have to learn a lot. Then you start to see a lot of the same things over and over again. And I don't think I don't think the young man who we prayed for yesterday would mind us kind of telling his story in a little bit of a way. For some reason at the chiropractor, there's a new guy there. So you guys need a chiropractor in Cincinnati, let us know. But they got a new guy there. And so we prayed over him. And then there was a woman who was fighting cancer. So we prayed over her. And then there was a couple whose son needed to come back to the Lord. So we prayed for them. And then Jessica was like, pray for this person. I won't name him. And I was like, do you want prayer? He goes, I guess so. She says I do. And so I was like, so how long have you come to the Lord? And he starts to tell me it's just since December. And then he just recently got baptized like last week.
It was February.
Okay. So it was he's a new Christian. Okay. And he admittedly was a marijuana pot addict, and his eyes were like kind of droopy and sleepy and he looked oppressed.
Honestly, his face was red too.
Yeah. And so Michelle and I began to pray for him, and I saw a demonic entity on the back of his neck, and we prayed for him. And I'll give you a couple of the words that he said confirmed. I said, I see you as a little boy in a trailer park and somebody is hurting you. And we're just praying and praying. We're cutting things off. We're talking about repentance. And I was like, this demon has to go. This demon has to go. This demon has to go. We must have prayed for him for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes.
It wasn't that long.
And
it was a while.
Okay.
I feel like 10 minutes, but okay.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how long
it was. It wasn't 15. It was 10, Leah.
Leah.
Okay. Are we sister? Or are we sister? So I have not seen this level of change in somebody's face often. I've seen it, not often. I opened my eyes and I looked at this young man. It he was only like in his 20s, so it's not like he could have gone. He could have like I wanted to say 10 years was taken off his face, but then that would have made him 15. But it was like that.
It was
like 10 years ago. It was his, like he was turned into
his skin his was skin, not as red. His eyes were like you could see his. It was like he woke color.
Up and he was crying and he said, "You had me because I grew up in a." As soon as you said trailer park. He said, I started crying because I grew up in a trailer park. And I told him, I said, you have some ways to go. But I said, demons left you today. I could see them leave. And and everybody in the whole, I was like, okay, Jessica, Megan, you look at this kid's face right now. Look at his face. I was like, he's a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
Any perversion, any oppression that not. And here's the thing. I'm not going to say it's all gone because there are layers to this. And I want to encourage you guys. And there's Father layers. Chad
gets to that.
He said one girl he took through 3 sessions completely cleared. Some people, I know this is going to shock you, but does not shock me.
No, not at all.
4 to 8 years of session after session after session. Well, why would it take so long? Because these demonic entities are holding on. And here's the thing.
They're embedded.
It's not 4 to 8 years to get the demons to leave. It's 4 to 8 years to get the person to release them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that one more time. These demons, if you have Hang a on. Part of...
Wait a minute.
That's weird. If any part of you is still like... But I like this, or you don't reach the memory that's attached or the door that's open. That door, it's like it. These demons, when they come in layers, they come in and the doors have to be individually closed
mm-hmm.
to these different demons. Jesus could come in and cast out Legion for the Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are Legion because we are many. But you may be dealing with so many, you may be dealing with a person's personality that's a little child stuck inside mm-hmm. and just can't let go. And as a practitioner of an exorcism, you're not all knowing.
Yeah.
And you're not God. And you need to know that God will give you wisdom and certain insight. But you need to relax. And do understand that as soon as a person is willing to have these demons cast out, you're on a good trajectory.
Yeah.
But as an exorcist and as a person who's casting demons out, you can only go as far as the person is willing to let go. And it is like somebody who's working with somebody with a mental illness or somebody who has needs physical therapy and has an injury or somebody who has deep-seated cancers all over their body. The people themselves, people aren't perfect.
Right.
And if you've had trauma in your life, it may take a while for that part of you to be ready
mm-hmm.
to receive Jesus in that area. Because what happens is it's called familiar spirits.
Yeah, because you're familiar with
them. And
those
familiar spirits become so intertwined with our spirit that it takes a long time for us. And that's why I believe that the CBT and the DBT, what you're doing is you're helping that broken part that's intertwined with that oppressive demon to be like, I'm not afraid. I'm not angry. I'm not lustful. I'm not this. I'm not this. I'm not this. Okay? As long as you believe that you have an eating disorder and you have to overeat, that demon's going to say, and he goes on to later and say, I was like, oh my gosh, not everybody who has a food addiction, it's diabolical. But sometimes it is. And so he was praying for this woman and he was asking the demon, how did you get in? This woman is pious. She's virtuous. She's probably like your grandma doing prayers every day. And the demon came out of her and said, pop, pop. And so he asked her later, because the demons will manifest. And then he asked the people later, you're there, but then the demon manifests. And she said, yeah, what I began to understand was, I have some, there are times throughout the day where all I can think about is I have to drink pop. I have to drink pop. I have to drink pop. And so that he, she had an addiction to sugar. Okay. She had an addiction to a certain kind of sugar, which is pop. Does it mean that that person, that this woman is a bad person?
No.
It means that there was some door, probably a sin done to her, mm-hmm. where she turned to this pop and as a coping mechanism, and the demon was an injury is a cut. Okay? The demon comes in through the cut. You seal it with something that you're stopping the pain. Okay? This is sin that you're in is a lot easier. Sin that's done to you, that's the 4 to 8 years. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you can't get that pop gone, because that pop now has become the seal for the injury. And when that goes, let's put it this way, what Jesus is good. He will make sure that that wound heals and then it can go. And sometimes it takes a while for that wound to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me read a couple of comments here, because you guys are really great. Heather says, that's exactly what I was thinking, Leah. The person doesn't want to let go. Nana says, that's exactly right, Leah. And Heather says, also, I'm willing to bet that if there are generational curses and strongholds, it'll take more time and energy. Very well said. Shauna says, truth, you have to want to be done with whatever it is. Seven Ange says, in most cases, the demons come in through the person having been abused. I would agree with a lot of that, too. Well said. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning into Resistance Chicks right here on Faith and Freedom TV. We're so proud to be part of this amazing network. There's 2 more hours of tonight's episode that you can tune into over at resistancechicks.com. Remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory, if it's actually the truth. We love you. God loves you. God bless.